हरि तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः ज्ञान कर्म संन्यास योगो नाम चतुर्थोऽध्यायः Everything a person does becomes a yajna. If a person has purusharth nischayah and if he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Yajna, you know, yajna means worship. It's the worship performed in the form of fire ritual is yajna. But any worship is, which is an act of offering, and everything a person does becomes a yajna, worship. If a person does everything for antahkarna shuddhi, for mental purity and mental steadiness, ultimately for jnanam, which itself is moksha, we as a purushartha nischayaha. This is yajna. And here, so Krishna mentioned, I said, the many different, how even practicing these disciplines, many disciplines in terms of shamaha, damaha, etc., all these disciplines also become, practicing these disciplines also become worship. When pranayama becomes worship, like that we saw, finally we saw ahara niyamaha, even taking care of the food we eat, the quantity and the quality of the food we eat. Also, if it is atrika ahara, then it is what we eat, how much we eat. It's very important, but also even the discipline in eating habit also is a yajna. We saw in the last class, whether I said 12 yajnas, Bhagavan discusses here, and now we moved on to the 32nd verse. Let me do this verse now, 32nd verse. Evam, we saw in the previous class how people who follow these disciplines, these yajnas, who are given to the practice of these yajnas, the disciplines as worship, they all in the due course of time become mentally purified. What is the benefit? How does converting any action, any discipline into a worship? And what's the benefit of it? The benefit is yajna kshapita kalmashaha. Remember that word? Yajna kshapita kalmashaha. People, because of this worship, converting everything into worship, all their impurities become resolved. Kshapita kalmashaha. Kalmasha means impurity. It means they become relatively pure. So that they become qualified for absolute purity. Which is jnana. So jnanam, absolute purity is in jnanam, which is their own swarupam. And for which they have to become relatively pure. And to have the relative purity, living, converting one's actions into worship again, is the means. We saw that in the previous class. Now we will do the 32nd verse. Evam bahuvidha yajnah vitata brahmano mukhe. Evam bahuvidha yajnah vitata brahmano mukhe. Karma jan vidhitan sarvan एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्षसे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्षसे. भगवान् कन्क्लूड्स् हियर् एवं, दट् एवम् इस् इन्डिक्लिनेबल् वर्ड् विच् मीन्स् इन् दिस् मेनर्. यु से एव विथौट् अनुस्वार मीन्स् वाट्? ओन्ली, अलोन्. एव भगवद्गीता कक्षा एव, दिस् इस् भगवद्गीता क्लास् ओन्ली. This is definitely Bhagavad Gita class. When you say want emphasis, you can say eva. But evam, eva. Evam in this manner. In which manner? As said above, as until this previous verse, there was a big discussion on how there are many yajñas. Not really. Yajña literally means a fire ritual. But not only the fire ritual, it is a worship, even other practice of disciplines and worship, other actions, every practicing anything becomes worship, yajna, if a person has purushartha nischaya. And such converting everything into worship helps one resolve his mental impurities. Okay, let me stop. That's what he says, evam, in this manner, bahuvidhaha yajnaha, different types of, many types of, you know, yajnaha, fire rituals, which is many types of worship, form many types of worship. So not only the kindling, the fire, offering oblations at the fire, which is a fire ritual, which is a form of worship. Not only this only form of worship, there are many different forms of worship. What are they? Practicing pranayama, practicing discipline of shamaha, practicing discipline of damaha, mental discipline, oral discipline, sensory discipline, disciplining one's breathing system, like having good proper food, eating habits, like different types of yajnas. There are different types of worship. So, bahuvidhaha yajnaha vitataha. Vitataha means yajnaha vitataha. Sarga has dropped because of the sandhi rule. Bahuvidhaha yajnaha evam vitataha. Vitataha means revealed, discussed elaborately. Where are they discussed? Brahmanaha mukhe. Brahmanaha mukham means, in this context, the word Brahma means nakarantaha napumsakalingaha brahman shabdaha. It is a neutral gender word ending in. So, in this here, the word Brahman does not mean reality, it means Veda. The Veda Shastram also is known as Brahma. Okay, reality is implied by the term Brahma. The Lord as a creator is known by the term Brahma. But Brahma also means Veda. Why Veda is called Brahma? Because the absolute reality Brahman, you know, to arrive at the reality implied by the term Brahma, Veda serves as a means of knowledge. Therefore, Veda is also known as Brahma. And this Veda Shastra has come from that Brahman only. The soul, Veda as a means of knowledge, as a treasure of knowledge, also has its source. What? Source is ultimately the reality Brahma. The source of any knowledge is Brahma, reality. And for Veda Shastra, for the Vedic wisdom also, Veda also is a perennially eternal knowledge. Therefore, for Veda also source is the same Brahma. Therefore, we say what? Brahma. The word Brahma also means Veda Shastram. Please remember, I gave two different means. The Veda Shastram serves as a means of knowledge of Brahma. Therefore, Veda is called a Brahma. And a Veda, as a treasurer of knowledge, is also a manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the source of Vedic wisdom also is the same reality, Brahma. Therefore, Veda Shastram is known by the term Brahma. Okay. Now, Brahmanaha Mukhe. Mukham literally means mouth or face. But here, Brahmanaha Mukhe means in the mouth of Brahma, Veda means usually Veda, anything taught comes through the mouth only. So it said Mukham. But Brahmanaha Mukhe means in the Veda Shastram. Brahmanaha Mukhe means Brahmani. Brahmanaha possessive case. Brahmanaha Mukhe means in the textbook of Veda, Veda mantras. These different types of, different forms of worship have been elaborately discussed. Vidataha. How in this manner, in the manner Krishna has discussed here. So what it is said here, Vyasacharya says, whatever is said in Bhagavad Gita, now as the teaching of Bhagavan Krishna and to Arjuna, the disciple called Arjuna, whatever the teaching it is happening, that teaching presented in Mahabharatam by Vyasacharya is not simply, it's not his own stories, it's not his own presentation, what he wanted to discuss. No. It has been, whatever has been taught in the Veda Shastra alone comes here. To say that, to make it very clear, he says, evam bahuvidhaha yajnaha, like in this manner, I discussed about many forms of worship elaborately discussed in the Veda Shastram, in the Veda. So, why do I convert pranayama into worship? Why do I say pranayama is a worship? Even practice, mental discipline is a worship. Sensory discipline is a worship. And having proper food habit is a worship. Why do I say that? Because it's not, I'm saying, it is these different forms of worship are already discussed elaborately in the Veda Shastra. So Bhagavad Gita does not say anything what has not been already discussed. Okay. Therefore, Brahmanaha Mukhe Bahuvidaha Yajnaha Vitataha. Okay. So in the textbook of Veda, Veda Shastram, many types of, many forms of worship have been elaborately discussed. Okay. Therefore, Arjuna, what should you do? Tan sarvan vidhi. May you understand all those different forms of worship. The forms of worship are many and different, but the spirit behind the form is one and the same. Okay? The different forms of worship, the spirit behind worship is the same. The significance of worship is one and the same. What is the ultimate significance? Worship is a symbolic act of offering. That's important. And ultimately, what you want is, of course, if you are worshipful, you will be blessed with the prosperity. But prosperity only a relative end. Ultimately, as a mature individual, who is aspiring for knowledge will expect only antakarna shuddhi, mental purity. So prosperity for living this life will be first result will have as for this worship. But the second important result, what a moksha, a person who is aspiring for moksha will expect is mental purity, the qualification required for knowledge. Therefore, hey Arjuna, Tam Sarvan Vidhi, spirit behind the form of worship, forms of worship is the same, one and the same. Tam Sarvan Vidhi, we understand all those different forms of worship. Tam Sarvan Vidhi. And what are they? Karmajan. Karmajan, Tam Sarvan Vidhi. And all this worship is only in attitude. So there's no way of worshiping the Lord without involving some form of action or the other. Okay. Only worship means a symbolic act of offering. And here, any disciplined practice becomes worship if a Purusharthanischaya is there. So here Bhagavan says, Karmajan means there's no way of expressing your gratitude to Bhagavan without an action. Your action is a must to express your emotion in the form of thought, in terms of gratitude. You want to express your gratitude to Bhagavan. So that needs what? Expression. Therefore, worship is only through the action. Okay, only even when you listen to the Shastra, of course mind is involved, but still sense organs is involved. Therefore, Karmajan Vidhi, we understand all these different forms of worship, and which is expressed through actions. Vedic practice, Shamaha, Dhamaha, Uparamaha, any discipline you practice, Pranayama you practice, or eating habits you practice, in every form of worship is through an action. Every form of worship is in the form of an action. Therefore, Karmajan Tam Sarvan Vidhi. Okay. If you know what you get, Krishna immediately rushes to say, hey Arjuna, when I'm telling you, may you understand all these different forms of worship, why do you say, Yevam Jnatva? Having understood thus, what will happen? Vimokshese, you will become free. You will be liberated. You will be freed. It means, when you live a worshipful life, how can you miss mental preparation? Bhagavan gives assurance. If you live a worshipful life with proper attitude, so you're committed to live a life of dharma and you're all the time seeking Bhagavan. So there's no fraction of a second you forget Bhagavan. You convert all actions into worship because of your total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. As a jignyasuhu, as the one who's aspiring for knowledge, as a mokshuhu, as the one who knows the value of moksha, as the one knowing the value of knowledge as a means of moksha, and you naturally are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of dharma, and with the proper attitude, and you live your life, you're worshipful, you're prayerful, and you're living your life in conformity with dharma, means you never forget Bhagavan, then naturally every small thing you do becomes a worship. Even if it is not a fire ritual, even if it is not an act of, so-called act of worship, but still every action becomes worship. Therefore, Krishna says here, evam jnatva, what happens? Definitely you can be 100% you can be assured that you will have you will become qualified for jnana. You will have jnana. Once you have jnana, means you will be, you will have moksha. So you will be meant qualified for knowledge. Therefore, you will definitely attain knowledge. Therefore, you will definitely be liberated from bondage. You will become, you will be freed. Vimoksha says a future passive voice, passive verb. You will be liberated. You will be freed. Vimoksha say. I remember I had to teach you active passive voice in our class. I'll do when I come back. Okay. Vimoksha say. You will be freed, liberated. Arjuna, don't worry. You will be liberated. When you'll be liberated, you will become free. When? Once you have jnana. Because moksha is only taking ownership of your own swarupam, nature, for which you need to discover your own swarupam. And to discover your own swarupam in your own mind, see, you must stand in front of the mirror or in front of the wall to see your face. When you want to see your face, when you want to see the reflection of your face, where do you want to stand? Will you go and stand in front of the mirror or in front of the wall? We may argue, Swamiji, so what? Mirror also is earthen. Wall also is nothing but earthen product. Why can't I stand in front of the wall and see my reflection? Both are earthen, but still mirror is transparent. Whereas transparent enough to reflect your face, unfortunately, even though the wall is earthen, it is not transparent enough to reflect your face. Is it clear? Both are jadam only. The mirror or the wall, both are equally jadam. But still, one is capable of reflecting your face because of its transparency. Whereas wall cannot do that. Similarly, you have body, you have pranas, you have sense powers, you have everything, but where is that you can see the manifestation of your own real nature, your own swarupam? So here we say, you can see your own swarupam, you know, only in your own mind. So you don't need to attain moksha, you have to only take ownership of your real nature, what you are. And for you to see your own, oh, this is my face only. How you see in the mirror? This is my face. It's not somebody else's face. There was a mirror in front of you. Similarly, where you can see your own swarupam being manifest is your own mind. You don't attain anything. You have to take ownership of your swarupam, which needs manifestation. And this mind serves as a manifesting medium. Must be capable of manifesting, isn't it? Capable of revealing your own swarupam, for which mind has to become pure and steady. So you don't need to work for moksha and jnana, you have to work only for preparing your mind. And here, this converting everything into worship, living a life of karma yoga, to definitely help you prepare your mind. Once the mind is prepared and the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is, and you cannot miss the vision of your own swarupam. Once you have the swarupam and you take ownership of your swarupam being free, yourself being free, and this is what is moksha. So Krishna says, Arjuna, if evam jnatva karma jan, okay, tam jnatva, by understanding these different types of yajna, understanding the significance of yajna, significance of worship, understanding different types of yajna means what? Understanding the significance of worship. Okay. In the light of knowledge of the goal of life, an answering of Ishvara, then naturally understand, and thereby when you follow strictly evam jnatva, what happens in the long run, in due course of time, you will become qualified for knowledge, you attain jnanam, thereby you will be liberated, Arjuna, from bondage for good. Vam vimokshase. Krishna again mentions the benefit of understanding the significance of worship, thereby converting one's life into a life of worship. Before understanding all these different forms of worship. So all these yajnas, all these different forms of worship are born of action. Means they need expression only through action. Okay. So what Krishna wants to say here, these 12 forms of worship are only mentioned in Bhagavad Gita as just to make us understand the only these 12 are not the yajnas. It means there are many more forms of worship. Big list of forms of worship we have. These 12 are only given for you to understand the significance of worship. Don't think there are only exactly 12 forms of worship. 12 yajnas. Only 12? No. Not only 12. There are many, many, many more yajnas forms of worship. These are given, they are mentioned here for us to understand the significance of worship. Now, your walking will be yajna, the seeing will be yajna, the sitting will be yajna, getting up will be yajna. You know, your falling asleep will be yajna, your waking up will be yajna. How? Every small thing you do becomes a yajna. If Purushartha Nischayaha is there, if you're committed to the pursuit of knowledge and you're committed to live a life of dharma, you know, we say, how when you lead people, how to live a life of dharma, we saw in Ramayana class that day on Mondays. You know, how the ministers in the court of Dashratha, how they were living. Even if their own sons go against dharma, they will not hesitate to punish them. And even if the enemies are righteous people, they will not harm them, because they will not compromise with dharma. Such, I said how Ramayana elaborates on dharma. Like that, commitment to live a life of dharma is very important, and that is what converts everything into yajna. If you are committed to live a life of dharma values, without the purushartha nischaya, you are only ethical person, or you will be accumulating a lot of punya. But with the purushartha nischaya, you are committed to live a life of dharma, you are not merely ethical, you are spiritually ethical, you are ethically spiritual. Therefore, you will become qualified for knowledge. Is it clear? Therefore, just yajnas are not just the 12. The 12 yajnas, 12 forms of worship are discussed in Bhagavad Gita for us to understand how you can convert any action to yajna. Which means, how many yajnas are there? Countless, okay? Therefore, there are many, many, many forms of worship, yajnas, exhaustively discussed in the Veda Shastram. So Krishna mentions that. So, Bhagavad Gita being the textbook which persons subject matter of the Veda Shastram. Krishna also can presents it here. He mentions that even Veda discusses many yajnas. So, this is also information for us to understand. Therefore, if we study the Upanishads later on, you will learn, in Veda itself, also, you will know more of rituals, yajnas, worships, forms of worship. So the question may arise, should I know many yajnas, many forms of worship discussed in the Veda Shastra? Really speaking, we don't need to know all forms of worship at all. So whatever these forms of worship discussed here in Bhagavad Gita, the 12 of them, if we carefully, strictly follow them, understand them, and follow these disciplines, which itself will bring us everything that we need in life. We don't need anything more. Okay, we'll go next one. Shreyan Dravyamaya Dignya Nya. Shreyan Dravyamaya Dignya Jnana Yajna Parantapa Shreyan Dravyamaya Dignya Jnana Yajna Parantapa Sarvam Karma Khilam Pra Sarvam Karma Khilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyate Shreyan Dravyamaya Dignya Jnana Yajna Parantapa Sarvam Karma Khilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyate. Is a very beautiful verse. Here, Bhagavan Krishna is addressing Arjuna as a Parantapa. Paraha means another person. Paraha, aparaha means the word paraha, parampara. Please listen. Paraha, masculine gender word. Para, feminine gender word. Param, neutral gender word. So, param Brahma, absolute reality. Paraha, Ishwaraha, the Lord, the Supreme, exalted. Paraha, Purushaha, the exalted being. Parashaktihi, absolute power. Like, paraha, para, param, three words in three different genders, but mean the same as exalted, supreme, absolute. Paraha. But the word paraha also means, in other context, another person. And the paraha also means an enemy. Enemy. See, you have to remember, okay, which paraha here. We say param brahma, parashakti, paraha ishwaraha. That don't take the enemy, okay? But here the word paraha means enemy. And tapaha, paran, tapati, iti parantapaha. The one who scorches his enemies. Scorcher of enemies is called parantapaha. Param tapati, iti parantapaha. One who scorches his enemies. And here, Bhagavan Krishna is addressing Arjuna as a parantapa. A scorcher of enemies, as a kshatriya, he fights against all the people who are wrongdoers, the wicked people, other enemies. So he scorches his enemies who are non-righteous. Who are non-righteous people for a Kshatriya? For a Kshatriya, the enemies are non-righteous people. Because a Kshatriya means he must be, he is supposed to be totally committed to Dharma. So for a Kshatriya who is committed to Dharma, thereby whose duty is to fight against Adharmis. For Adharmi, so scorcher of enemies means one who scorches the people who are non-righteous. The Kshatriya doesn't have enemies. Whoever is Adharmi is enemy of Kshatriya. Who is enemy of Kshatriya? Whoever goes against Dharma, thereby whoever contributes for a social disorder, a social disharmony, and he is enemy for Kshatriya. Kshatriya will scout such a person. This external. And not only externally, externally he fights against enemies who are non-righteous, adharmis, unethical people, but also the real brave person fights against the enemy sitting in one's own mind in the form of one's own emotions, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryam, are sixfold enemies. You know, because it is as long as these emotions are said to be enemies, because as long as these enemies are there, one will be disturbed. One will be disturbed. One will be tempted to go against them. Enemies. And now Arjuna is Krishna addressing Arjuna. Hey Parantapa, scorcher of enemies. Your commitment to Bhagavan is such. Commitment to Arj is such. What will happen? You will really fight against the emotions which disturb you. How? By making use of your buddhi, you will see that you have shamaha. You make yourself buddhi, you make use of your knowledge of right and wrong. Therefore, thereby, you will never get enslaved by your likes and dislikes. You will see all actions are governed by your knowledge of right and wrong. Okay? One who fights against, how can I fight against my own emotions and still be victorious over my emotions? Only by being committed to level of dharma, by making use of my willpower, making use of my urge of right and wrong. Okay, my actions are governed by my urge of right and wrong, not simply dictated by my own likes and dislikes. Then I am also scorcher of enemies. Okay, so here Bhagavan says, He Parantapa. There's no visarga there. Okay, He Parantapa. O scorcher of enemies, Arjuna. He says, you know, what is best? Best of all forms of worship. Krishna praised and praised all the forms of worship. Okay, because when you understand the significance of worship, you really like that. Very nice. You know the benefit of the yajna, everything. Now Krishna says, having said that much, but all these forms of worship are ultimately for what? All forms of any worship is ultimately, of course, worship has two problems. One is that being worshipful, you will tap Bhagavan's grace. Grace name of Devatas. Thereby, you will be blessed with all forms of prosperity you need to live this life comfortably. So that you can focus on your pursuit of knowledge. So for prosperity, the worship will help you to be prosperous in life. One thing. Second thing, important thing is, for a karma yogi, for a jignasu, for a mukshu, worship, is also expected to bless him with mental preparation required for jnana. Okay? Once you have preparation and you will have knowledge and moksha. Therefore, worship is very important. We understand And now Krishna says, any form of worship is practiced for Antakarna Shuddhi. Antakarna Shuddhi is for Jnana. Ultimate Jnana itself is Moksha. Ultimately, what you expect is, your interest is not in worship or not even in the result of the worship. Your interest is ultimately in Jnana. Therefore, Arjuna, among all these different forms of worship, you know, what is the best among best of the forms of worship here? He says, Jnana Yajnaha. He Parantapa, Jnana Yajnaha Shreyan. Okay. Shreyaha, Shreyan, Shreshta. Shreyaha means good. Shreyan, better. And Shreshta, best. It's a comparative degree. Okay. Jnana Yajnaha Shreyan. Among all these different forms of worship, the better, what is better than the Dravyamaya Yajnaha? Dravyamayat Yajnat. Jnana Yajnaha Shreyan. So Jnana Yajnaha is more exalted, superior to all other forms of worship, which involve dravyam. Dravyamaya yajnaha means the worship which involves the material as products, material things, materials. Which any yajna involves what? The material things, materials. So yajna is called dravyamayaha yajnaha. But now Krishna says, but dravyamaya yajnate jnana yajnaha shreyan. Dravyamaya yajnaha is good, not bad. It will help you prepare your mind, resolve your emotions, to help you resolve your impurities. It will help you have mental purity and mental steadiness. But now, what is better than all these forms of worship which involve the material things is the most exalted. What is better than all forms of worship is Jnana Yajnaha. What is Jnana Yajnaha? I told you already, Jnana Yajnaha Parantapa. Before we see what is Jnana Yajnaha, let me tell you. Sarvam Karma. Now why I say Jnana Yajnaha is superior? Because, He Partha, understand the secret. Once you have in Jnana Yajna, will result in the attainment of Jnanam. And once you have Jnanam, all your karma, Sanchitam karma, Agami karma, all your karmas, Akhilam karma, Jnane parisamapyate. All your karmas will come to an end. You will not have any karma to be exhausted. Okay? If you don't have Jnanam, you will be accumulating new karmas. Your old karma also will be there. So Sanchitam will continue to be there. While exhausting the Paradha, you will be accumulating new Agami. So the bondage of karma will be there permanently, endlessly there. But once you have Jnanam, your perspective changes. My God, you see how you're already free from all karmas. You will be free from doership and enjoyership. Thereby you will be free from bondage of karma. All Sanchitam will be resolved for good. Raga will be resolved for good. And Paradha will exhaust and finish it. so that we'll be free from bondage of karma. But Krishna says, Sarvam karma. Akhilam karma. Sarvam akhilam karma he partha jnane parisamapite. All karma will be, will come to an end. Okay? Parisamapite. Because all your karma will be resolved for good in jnana. Which means all your actions, all forms of worship, all your actions will finally culminate in the attainment of knowledge. Karma will come to an end in the attainment of knowledge. Karma will culminate in the attainment of knowledge. Jnane parisamapyate. Okay. Now, what is jnana yajna? See, listening to the unfoldment of subject matter of the shastram is jnana yajna. Others called rishi yajna, brahma yajna. You learn panchamaha yajnas. So, jnana yajna means what? Listening to the unfoldment of the teaching, scripture. When you listen to the unfoldment of the scripture, what are you doing? You're listening to the teaching only. And here, I told you this, the teacher who speaks is like the performer of the ritual. The words which come out of the teacher's mouth are like the oblations. And your hearing power is your ear is the fireplace. Your hearing power is the fire into which the words, oblations of words are offered. And then finally the oblations in the form of words offered into the fire of your hearing power, obtaining within the fireplace called your ear, that oblation reach the devata called mind. Your mind. And there what happens? What the benefit of that ritual? The clarity comes, which is the benefit of the listening, offering. So yajna, even the jnana yajna, listening to the unfoldment of the teaching, is also yajna, jnana yajna. And ultimately, the more and more and more systematically we listen, definitely results in clarity. And always, initially, the clarity first, it takes some time for you to understand. To listen, how to listen, even to learn to listen, it takes some time. When you keep on listening, in due course of time, you will see how gradually clarity enhances. As the clarity enhances, new doubts may rise. Again, those doubts will be resolving. As you listen more and more and more and more, you see there's always enhancing clarity in listening. Then finally, the clarity must be the total clarity, then your perspective changes. Which means listening to the teaching finally results in the clear vision of the teaching, which itself is moksha. And the whole, any form of worship is practiced ultimately to prepare the mind for this knowledge. And when you all the time you're listening to the teaching, and of course you can't miss clarity of understanding, in due course of time, you will definitely have the clarity. Before, he says, Krishna says, jnana yajna shreya, because jnana yajna shreyam. So listening to the teaching itself, now every Gita class is a jnana yajna only. So jnana yajna means it is as good as going to the temple, praying to the Lord. It's as good as, you know, you're doing anything else. In fact, I say as good as, really speaking, Krishna says, this is the better form of worship. It, all forms of worship are good, but the better form of worship is listening to the unfoldment of the teaching. Otherwise, it's called Jnana Yajnaha. Dravya Yajnaha, Dravya Mayaha Yajnaha means the worship involving offering of material things. You offer ghee, it's like Dravya Mayaha Yajnaha. Okay. Suppose when you practice other disciplines also, it involves whether it's Shamaha, Dhammaha, mental discipline, oral discipline, or sensory discipline, pranayama, all of them involve what? The materials. Material body, is it? But in Jnana Yajna, of course, you're using the mind, you're using it, you're sitting there, but still, it's all clarity. It's all for clarity. Therefore, Jnana Yajna is superior to, greater than the all forms of worship which involve material aspects, materials. Okay. And why? Because ultimately all forms of actions, all forms of worship in the form of actions, all of them should culminate only in the attainment of knowledge. How long will a person have to perform worship? How long will a person have to perform, pray to the Lord? How long should a person perform rituals? How long should a person do his duties? How long should he be working and working and working and working? So one day everything should come to an end. So Krishna says, no. Sarvam karma, akhilam karma, he partha, jnane parasamaptite. All forms of actions should culminate ultimately in the attainment of knowledge only. Therefore, jnana yajna, which is the, jnana yajna means, which is the shravanam, listening to the unfoldment of the teaching, always called a Shravanam, followed by Mananam and Nididhyasanam, will result in the ascertained vision of the truth, which is the culmination of all forms of actions, all forms of worship also. Therefore, Jnana Yajna Shreyan, Dravyamayat Panchami. I told you, fifth Kedani use, it means than or from. Near than comes. You follow that now? Dravya Mayaha Yajnaha. Yajna, which involves offering of materials. Dravya Mayaha Yajnaha. Dravya Mayam Yajnam. Dravya Mayena Yajnana. Dravya Mayaya Yajnaya. Dravya Mayat Yajnat. Jnana Yajnaha Shreyan. Jnana Yajna is superior to, better than all forms of worship which involve materials. Therefore, Krishna says, what should you do now? See, slowly he brings you to knowledge. Tad vidhi pranipatena parip prashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastattva darshinah tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya tadvidhi pranipatena పరిప్రశ్నేన సేవయా ఉపదేక్షంతి తే జ్ఞానం జ్ఞానినస్తత్వదర్శినః. భగవాన్ సేస్, దెర్ఫోర్ అర్జున, వాట్ ఈస్ హ్యావింగ్ భగవాన్ హ్యావింగ్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఎలాబొరేట్లీ ద 12 యజ్ఞాస్ జస్ట్ ఫర్ అస్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ది సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞ వర్షిప్. Then Bhagavan finally said, ultimately, all forms of worship, all forms of actions should culminate ultimately in the attainment of knowledge of the truth, obtaining as your own real nature. Therefore, this study of the scriptures, systematic study of the scriptures, listening to the unfoldment of the scriptural teaching is called Jnana Yajna, which is superior to all other forms of worship which involve material things. Having praised the Jnana Yajna as the exalted form of worship, in fact, the most exalted form of worship is Jnana Yajna. You know why? I told you many times before, see, in the yajna, we are always, yajna is an act of offering, a symbolic act of offering. So in performing a ritual, you offer oblations, you offer so many things. But when you offer anything to Bhagavan, even though it is a symbolic act of offering, what is being offered is different from you, the offerer. So in other forms of worship, the offer, what is being offered is different from the offerer. Whereas in Jnana Yajna, every time you listen to the unfoldment of the teaching, you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. And in see, when you see, every time you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, every class when it's unfolded properly, when you see, when the teacher makes you see what the teacher sees, when the teacher gives a vision through his teaching, his or her teaching, where you see in the class, as you're listening, your real self, yourself, your real nature, the truth of I, being non-separate from Bhagavan, the truth of the whole. And seeing this non-difference, cognitively appreciating this non-difference, not physically, cognitively appreciating this non-difference is actually offering oneself to Bhagavan. Seeing the fact of your real nature, yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan essentially, is what? Offering yourself to Bhagavan. If you say wave is water, the entire ocean is water, therefore wave is ocean. When you say the standpoint of the form, name and function, wave and ocean are not the same. The standpoint of the water called truth, wave and ocean are not two, they're one. So the standpoint of the water, wave is ocean. Okay, wave is non-separate from the ocean. Wave is non-different from the ocean. Wave is different from the ocean from the standpoint of form, name and function. The standpoint of the truth, wave is non-different from the ocean. Non-separate from the ocean. Similarly, when you say wave is ocean, the standpoint of the truth called water, you are resolving wave, form, name and function in the ocean. Similarly here, the standpoint, the form, name and function, I as an individual, I am separate from the Lord, the whole. I'm different from the Lord, the whole. But from the standpoint of the reality, only one and the same reality, I am essentially non-different from the Lord. And this is nothing to do physically. There's nothing to do physically here. It is purely a cognitive appreciation of oneself being non-separate from the Lord. And this, seeing this fact of oneself being non-separate from the Lord, the standpoint of the truth is what? Offering oneself from oneself to Bhagavan. So when you say wave is ocean, wave is offered to the ocean. I itself am the Lord. I am non-separate from the Lord. I am not different from the Lord. Which means, what is there's only the Lord, I am not here. Okay? Essentially, the seeing non-difference is called offering one's own self to Bhagavan. It means the offering of the offerer puts an end to the very act of worshipping. This we always say, offering the offerer, and the offerer is offered to the Lord, the offering cannot take place anymore. The act of offering will come to an end. Okay, the most exalted form of worship is what? The offering, after having offered which, the act of offering comes to an end. It puts an end to the very act of offering is the most exalted form of offering. And that is possible only in knowledge. Therefore, okay, we say, the most exalted form of worship is, most exalted form of worship is offering one's own self to Bhagavan. And offering one's own self means understanding the fact of oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan. Therefore Krishna says, Jnana Yajna Shreyan. No way, you don't need to be worshipping for long. In all other forms of worship, you are the offerer. Symbolically, you are offering. And what is being offered by you to Bhagavan is different from you. As long as what is being offered is different from you, the offerer, the act of offering will be continuous, be continuing. The act of offering will come to an end when you, the offerer, yourself become what is being offered. And when the offerer becomes the offered, offerer is offered, then offering cannot take place anymore. That is why it is the exalted form of worship. And say for Jnana Yajna Shreyan Dravyamayat Yajnat Jnana Yajna Shreyan. Okay, now we'll see here. Therefore, what should you do now? You should also take to, even though I discussed many yajnas, Arjuna, now given the clue here that Jnana Yajna is better than other forms of worship. What should you do now? You should be given to this Jnana Yajna. And to worship Bhagavan, for you to follow this jnana yajna, what should you do? You should listen to the teaching. If you want to be the performer of a jnana yajna, worship in the form of the listening, then you should listen to the teacher. This is the unfoldment of the teaching, for which you should go to the teacher. So Krishna gives a proof. How Arjuna, how you can be given to the worship in the form of listening to the unfoldment of the teaching, the most exalted form of worship. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastattvadarshinah tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastattvadarshinah tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastattvadarshinah. Okay. So being given to the pursuit of knowledge in the form of listening to the unfoldment of the teaching is called jnana yajna. It is the most exalted form of worship. That is where I can repeatedly see the fact of myself being non-separate from Bhagavan, the whole. It's the only way you can offer yourself to Bhagavan. You want to offer yourself to Bhagavan? What should you do? Go and sit very close to the picture of Bhagavan or Murti of Bhagavan. No. If you go and sit very close to the picture of Murti, you are still sitting very close to some other form. But it is cognitive, it's not physical. If you want to offer yourself to Bhagavan, you have to see that you are not here at all. What is only Bhagavan. If you want to see what is only Bhagavan, then that I'm not here. What is only Bhagavan? Then that is when you become offered to Bhagavan. For you to be able to see what is only Bhagavan, you should see that yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, for which you should study, listen to the unfoldment of the teaching. Your Swarupa must become revealed to you. How can you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan if you do not see yourself? You have to see your real nature for you to see that you are non-separate from Bhagavan. For you to see all that is as only Bhagavan. Therefore, and that's how you can offer yourself to Bhagavan. And for which you have to listen. Listen to, you need a shastram called pramanam. You need a pramanam known as shastram. And when you're listening to unfoldment of the shastram, you can see how the pramanam is working. How this means of knowledge is working. And gradually, in due course of time, it should not fail. You see this. The listening is the most important first step for whoever wants to understand Bhagavan. Shravanam, if you are prepared, student, Shravanam is enough. You don't need Mananam and Nidhyasana. If you are not prepared, if you are not Uttamaha Sishyaha, if you are Uttama Adhikari or Manda Madhyama Adhikari or Adhama Adhikari, Samhoya Adhikari, you want to know the truth. You want to understand Bhagavan. You are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. You were desperate for moksha. Very good. Your somehow, some punyam has helped you become jignasu. Now you want to know. The desire to know somehow has come into your mind. So you give it a study of the shastra, but you are not prepared mentally. You are not able to. Road patibandhas, a lot of obstacles in the form of your own mental condition, all unresolved issues, subconscious surface, and they come and disturb you somehow. You want everything, you want to be good, but still you are disturbed. So then we can say unqualified aspirant, absolutely qualified aspirant. So the mediocre student is a uttama adhikari, manda madhyama adhikari, adhama adhikari. Adhama adhikari, definitely you have to live a life of karma yoga to prepare your mind. But manda madhyama adhikari, you need shavanam, you need mananam, then you need nidhyasam also. Where uttama adhikari, shravanam is finished. Come, listen to the unfolded of the teaching once. Shravanam, first step is enough. You don't need any more steps. Doesn't matter. You don't need to worry about now whether I'm a mandamadhyam adhikari or uttam adhikari or adham adhikari. Don't worry about anything. Now let us start. Let us start listening. Okay, listening is the first step. Then, if you need it, you can go. Mananam also will be possible. Nidhyasam also will be possible. If Shravanam itself we have not done, Mananam, Nidhyasam will be impossible. The Shravanam is the first thing you need to do. First of all, listening to the unfoldment of the scripture systematically, regularly from a competent teacher who knows the method of unfoldment, having been a disciple of another teacher. Who would have been a disciple of another teacher? This is what Shastra tells. Okay, so Krishna says, now, therefore, first you should go to the teacher. Not any teacher. The teacher who gives importance for the Shastra. The teacher is a teacher only if the teaching does not contradict your reasoning. And the teacher is a teacher only when the teacher teaches only the Shastra. What the Shastra says without deviating from the Shastra. The teacher is a teacher only when the teaching is given importance. If the student, because of the problem on the part of the student gives importance for the teacher more than the teaching, then there is no tradition, there is a cult. So we should not be very careful. We should never become the cult followers. We should become the followers of the tradition, sampradaya. So Krishna says here, therefore, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashtena sevaya. Here Arjuna, tad vidhi. Vidhi means may you know, may you understand. Vidhi is an imperative verb of second conjugation root. Therefore, now we can say veti. Veti means knows, janati. Patati, likhati, like that, veti means janati, knows. But vidhi is an imperative verb. Hey Arjuna, may you understand vidhi. Okay. What should you know? He says, tad vidhi, may you understand that truth means may you attain that knowledge. Tad vidhi means may you attain that knowledge, attain that wisdom. May you attain that knowledge of the truth, attain the knowledge of truth, obtaining as your own self. Tadvidhi. How can you attain the knowledge of the truth, obtaining as your own self? Pranipatena. Pataha means falling. Patati falls. Patati. You know. Phone has thought patati. Patati falls. Patanam falling. Pataha also falling. But here, pranipataha means falling flat. Pataha falling. Nipataha falling. Pranipataha prakarshena nipataha. Means what? Falling flat. Pranipataha prostrating. Then sevaya. See, pranipataha masculine gender word. So what instrumental case? Ramena, balena, pranipatena. By prostrating. Then sevaya. Through service. Seva. Like sitaya, balaya. Third case. Pranipatena, sevaya. So by seva, sevam, sevaya. Through service and also by prostrating. Which means prostrating literally means falling at the feet of the teacher. So again, it's again a cultural form. Falling at the feet of the teacher. Why should I fall at the feet of the teacher? I had to go and ask the question, he has to give the answer. Again, falling at the feet has significance. Feet always stand for knowledge. Symbol, no? Feet is symbolic, it is. Because when you fall at the feet of the teacher, your head stands for I. The teacher's feet stand for, symbolically, Bhagavan's feet. And there is the beginning of your effort to see the non-difference. Okay, those things is, if I don't fall at the feet of the teacher, will not get the teaching? No, definitely you'll get the teaching. Because again, it's a beginning of an effort to begin to resolve thin my bloated ego. Isn't it? My ahankara so fat and bloated. I cannot undo my ahankara at all. And it has to resolve by itself. So I have to make it thin. So the beginning is what? First fall flat. Okay. Not only that, you really understand, you really have reverence for the teacher. Once you know the value of moksha, once you know the value of knowledge, once you know listening to the unfolding of the teaching is the only means of you having knowledge. And naturally, you will have respect for the teaching. Respect for the scripture must begin from expressing your respect for the teacher. For the teacher, supposed to have, teacher's head is supposed to have the teaching in Shastra. Well, not everything, at least some teaching must be there. Therefore, here, pranipataha, falling flat at the feet of the teacher, Then, remaining in Gurukulam, if you live in the Gurukulam, if you live in the residential school, then you can do whatever small things you can do for the teacher, you can do. So, sevaya, then pariprashnina. So, being around the teacher in a Gurukulam, there'll be lots of opportunities for you to ask questions, to clarify your doubts. You need to keep your mouth closed. When the teacher is speaking, then you can listen, then you should not talk. The teacher finishes teaching, then you can talk. In traditional teaching, never ever the student is supposed to, allowed to ask questions or talk in between. You can always come out with all your possible doubts. You can ask the teacher any number of questions after the class. Okay? So whenever you are the teacher all available, you can go and ask. So pariprashnena. Genuinely, any question you have, you don't need to feel shy. You can go and ask for that clarification. Or whatever you have heard that day in the teaching, in the class. So tad vidhi. Hey Arjuna, may you attain that jnanam? How? By going to an appropriate teacher, falling at the feet of the teacher, by serving the teacher, by asking appropriate, by asking any questions which arises in your mind when you are given to the discipline of listening to the teaching. So, paripranipatena, sevaya, pariprashnena, hey Arjuna, tadvidhi, may you gain that knowledge. Then, what will happen if you go to Gurukulam also, asking for knowledge, very next day, as soon as you ask, no teacher will teach. In the tradition, they won't give teacher immediately. They will expect you to become qualified for the teaching. See, they will not be unkind to you. They won't alienate you. They won't say no to you. But they'll be very friendly and kind, compassionate. They'll be very happy that you have come for the teaching. But they will definitely make sure that you are qualified for the teaching. But unqualified, and somewhere, somehow you heard its importance, you go and ask the teacher. If you are not qualified, it will become a big problem for a teacher. You may misunderstand the teaching, misinterpret the teaching. It make a lot of confusion. You not only you will be confused, you will contribute generously for confusing others. Therefore, teacher is very careful. He will see that you are adequately qualified for the teaching. He, without sending you back, he will be very happy he has got a student, but he makes sure that you are qualified to listen to the teaching. For that, any student those days would make the student stay in the Gurukulam and give small. I'll ask them to do some small things. Sometimes very arrogant. Oh, I have come here to learn and study. He asked me to do that and this. Get angry, finished. He was sent back. Okay? It's all the scale to check how qualified you are. Then with the patience, and the politeness, and the humility, and if you are there, if you miss, they check how you are qualified or not. Staying in the Gurukulam, do some service. Sometimes the students will be staying there for years and years and years. They'll be only doing other work in the ashram, Gurukulam. They're not taught for a very long time. With their questioning back, why are you not teaching me? I'm here. They had to be there. Sometimes when the student is prepared, and the teacher will allow him to study, listen to the teaching. But when the student goes, he is very qualified. Very next day, he may ask him to attend the class. Still, he may have to do some other things which are needed in the Gurukulam. Anyway, that's why hey Arjuna, pranipatena, pariprashnena, sevaya, tadvidhi. This is how you can attain the knowledge. Then when you approach a teacher and go and stay there and do all this, when you are very humble, you really express your respect and reverence for the Shastram, for the feet of the teacher, also ask questions, and you also do your whatever the allotted work in the Gurukulam, you know, with Shraddha, then all that will help you to get the qualification. Then what happens? Te jnaninaha, those wise people, te jnaninaha, those wise people whom you approach and whom you serve, whose feet you fall at, those people, who are they? Not ordinary people. Tattva darshinaha. Tattva darshi means the seer of the truth. These people, those wise people, who have the clear vision of the truth. Those wise people who have the clear vision of the truth, tattva darshinaha, te jnaninaha tattva darshinaha, those people with the clear vision of the truth, the wise people, te jnanam upadekshanti. They will upadekshanti, means upadishati is a present tense verb. Upadishati. Upadishati means will teach us. Upadekshati is a lit future tense verb. Upadekshanti plural. Those wise people, those who have clear vision of the truth, will teach you, will teach you, will impart the knowledge to you, will teach you. You got it? Upadishati, upadishataha, upadishanti, lat, rupani, lat rupani. Which tense is what? Upadekshyati, upadekshyataha, upadekshyanti. They will teach you. As soon as you go, they will not teach you. After some time, they will definitely teach you. Tattvadarshinaha, jnaninaha, te jnanam upadekshyanti. They will teach you. You can listen to their unformative teaching. Now let's unfold this. Yeah, I'll do this little more of this verse next class. Until you learn the meaning of the verse, isn't it? Te tattva darshinaha jnaninaha jnanam upadekshanti. But you have to approach the teacher. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Yubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.